So now may we move on to agenda item number 5, which is the Lin Yu Moon Waterfront Enhancement Project. You have the paper number TFK/03/2011 in front of you. And in relation, we also have some reference material that has been sent by email yesterday. So that's as many as 7 enclosures, but if I may kind of summarize a little bit, enclosures 1 and 2 were basically in relation to the HEC subcommittee meeting on the 24th of December. Enclosures 4 to 5 would be in relation to the HEC subcommittee meeting on the 4th of November, including Paul's paper. And then enclosures 6 to 7 in relation to the Oyster Shell Bay Beach. And that's also the email communication that has just been tabled, because this is in relation to the comments or the requests of Paul just this morning. I have to thank the secretary for being very efficient and coming up with all this email communication that we also, Paul would also like members to have a look of. That would be useful to the discussion here. So with that, may I now welcome the representative to the meeting. So from the Tourism Commission, Rosanna Law. Rosanna, yes. Winifred Chong. And from Architectural Services Department, K.W. Ma, Jackie Chan. And then from Thomas Chow Architect, Benny Ng, Philip Mack. And from Civil Engineering and Development Department, Stephen Shum, Ken Park. And from the Environmental Protection Department, Yong Hong Yu Boxi, as well as Gordon Wang. So this is a big team in order to address all the different concerns about this particular item. Welcome very much and for your time to this meeting. Before we go to the discussion, may I invite members to declare interest if you have any in relation to this agenda item? Okay, if not, then I think we have all the information, and may I now invite the representative to give a presentation, please. And please try to limit your presentation to about 10 minutes. So Rosanna, you are going to present.
Thank you, Chairman, and thank you, Member, for having us this afternoon at the task force meeting. I do not intend to do a presentation as such, because the information that we tabled today actually are answers in response to questions raised at the last task force meeting. And I think the answers are pretty much self-explanatory. So I do not intend to spend more time in reading out the answers or give presentation. But as the chairman has rightly pointed out, we do have the relevant departments here. We try to gather all the relevant departments so that we can address to further questions or further comments this afternoon, in the hope that we can successfully address members' concerns. Thank you, Chairman.
So would you have a presentation from other members of the team before we open the discussion?
If no, I don't think so.
Okay, thank you very much. So that saved us some time. So now it's time for members to give comments, please.
These are questions raised in 2009 by HEC. Sorry, Becky, I'm getting a little bit confused as to quite what it is that we're asking questions on at the moment. Has all the material been circulated?
What do you mean by materials?
We have some supplementary reference materials. Is that?
Let me you know, kind of help members with this. So that's the reference materials that has been circulated in the afternoon yesterday. The reference material with all the meetings minutes. And Paul sent us an email and saying that these materials are not comprehensive, because he has raised a series of questions and answers in emails. And that's why this morning the secretary has kindly sorted out all the email communication, kind of, in terms of the Q&A, the essential ones. And these are the supplementary reference materials that you have on the table, and that supplements as background information.
Right.
And
yes.
What we have in front of us from the Tourism Commission is the paper TFK/03/2011. That is captioned the Lee Yu Moon Waterfront Enhancement Project that members can give comments on.
Yes, yes, so we have a supplementary information. But
sorry, Peter, do you have all the information?
We have the
yes.
supplementary reference materials, yes. We have received that.
Yes.
Okay.
Madam. Thank you. Yeah. So may I now invite comments, please? Yes, next.
Yes. Madam Chair, I mean, I think one of the major concerns that surfaced during our discussions was this whole issue of the sewage facilities, or lack of, if you like, and the extent to which effluent was flowing directly into the sea. And also, we were very concerned about the state of the water in the typhoon shelter. And if you remember, we talked about that on a previous occasion. Maybe if EPD are here, they could give us, if you like, I mean, some of these responses are a little bland, if I may put it. EPD has no information, et cetera, about septic tanks and the like. Perhaps EPD could give us their up-to-date overview, if you like, of the situation in terms of the effluent that is actually flowing into the sea and the sewage situation, and also what they're going to do about treating the quality of water in the typhoon shelter.
Yeah, thank you. So other comments before we ask the team to respond? So that's actually a lot of information in the package. All right. So if there is no question at this stage, perhaps may I invite, you know, EPD to comment on this question, you know, the effluents, the sewage problem, and water quality, please.
Thank you for the question. I'm Xy Yuan from EPD. First, perhaps let me say Lee Yu Moon Village itself is really no different from many of the 1,000 villages we have in various places in Hong Kong. A lot of these villages would have their own private sewage treatment system in the form of septic tanks. Also mixed in with the village houses built perhaps under the so-called new territory exempt house type. The squatters in a lot of situations would have no sewage treatment systems. So what they tend to do is to discharge the wastewater direct to gullies or watercourses direct. This type of situation are found all over Hong Kong in village areas or what we call as sewer areas. The government is trying to extend sewers to all this, most of these villages. Out of nearly 1,000 such sewer areas, so far the government has been successful to extend sewers to some 140 villages. So there's still a long way to go that we finish our job. Unfortunately, Lee Yu Moon Village is one of the villages we haven't provided sewers to. But we have started a study in November last year, which will run for 15 months. And hopefully by the end of the study, we will have viable options to provide sewerage and sewage treatment to the village. But from past experience in dealing with villages of this type, we could meet up with a lot of objections from the villagers for various reasons. So it takes a lot of time and patience to work with the villagers to get them to accept government sewer systems. For some of the villages in the new territories, we are still facing total resistance. We've been told to stay away from the village, and they wouldn't accept government sewers. So I hope members would appreciate the kind of effort we put into providing sewer to villages. Perhaps let me also inform members that one of our recent achievements is to be able to improve the water quality for the 7 closed streamlined beaches, which has been closed for quite a number of years. And until this year, last year actually, the monitoring results indicate all 7 beaches, the water quality have been found to be suitable for bathing. And as a result, I think next year, LCSD would be in the position to reopen some of the beaches. So I hope the members appreciate our effort in working in provision sewers to villages in order to improve our water environment. And for the water quality in the Lei Yuen Mun area, perhaps I would like to ask my colleague, Mr. Wan, to give an overview of the situation.
Thank you.
Thank you for the question and the chance to make a very brief presentation about the water quality monitoring we are doing there. Lei Yuen Mun or Sam Ka Chin Typhoon Shelter falls into the Victoria Harbour Water Control Zone. And for that purpose, we have water quality objectives to govern the water quality. And for this Typhoon Shelter, we basically look at 4 parameters. The dissolved oxygen at different levels. One is bottom, the other is the depth average. The third one is the inorganic nitrogen. The fourth one is an ionized ammonia nitrogen. The 4 parameters. And we conduct monitoring water sampling at a certain frequency for all the typhoon shelters in the territory. And for this particular one, we collect samples on average once every 2 months. And then we calculated the results from all those samples. And then we compare against the water quality objective. For this one, say in 2009, we find that the water quality objectives of 3 of the parameters comply with what is set out for the typhoon shelter. And they are the bottom dissolved oxygen, TIN, and also the ammonia nitrogen. The average result for the depth average DO actually is also not too bad, but because the WQO requires that 90% of the samples has to comply with the limit, which is 4 mg/L. And this one, we still have a little problem with that. So in other words, 3 out of 4 parameters, we're okay. 1 of them, we still have to work at. And hopefully by commencing the study that Dr. Yuen just mentioned, we will figure out some means of pollution interception system and collect them and properly treat them. I think a brief description as to what I've made. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, Maggie.
appreciate that you have issues and difficulties in addressing this problem. But could I just ask, out of the 1,000 or so villages, less than 140 you've managed to deal with, that still have not got proper sewerage, how many are the subject of a multi-million dollar beautification tourism proposal? Just a bit concerned about priorities and carts before horses.
Yes, other comments, Paul?
Oh, I thought the EPD was going to answer Maggie, which I thought was a very good question, and it would be nice to just have answers right away.
Surely that will be answered. Do you also have a question?
Sorry. Well, I have quite a number of them, but I think I should limit myself to the issue of water quality. That's the first issue that's being raised. There's quite a number of issues here, but let's look at the water quality. I have the various studies. I mean, the EPD is reported to the LegCo on the water quality E. coli content, and you haven't referred to that, but E. coli content to LegCo previously, and I think the information has been disseminated to this committee. In February 2002, there was a study on the village improvement and upgrading of Lay Moon area conducted by ERM for the government, and they clearly conclude that the village is unsewered, and both the domestic and restaurant effluent discharges into the harbour and the typhoon shelter covers the streets is unhygienic and incompatible with Seafood Haven. That's one of the comments on page E20 in this report, for which the public has paid a lot of money to get that properly researched. Also note in earlier responses, and that's why I asked for the email correspondence, is that it was confirmed by EPD that sewage and wastewater generated discharge directly into the sea. However, in the response to us today, which was prepared by the Tourism Commission, that is somewhat phrased differently. I'm trying to find that paper. It says Lim Village relied largely on private treatment systems such as septic tanks to treat wastewater arising from their premises.
Paul, can you help us by giving us the page number,
that
please?
That is page 4, water quality sewage-related issues, the second bullet point. Now, what I'd like to point out here is that there is somewhat a contrast in the representation of the reality of the village. EPD has confirmed previously that you have no clue how many septic tanks there are in the village, because you don't have any study on that. Is that correct? You have no details on the septic tanks available in the village.
We know they have septic tanks, but we don't have what you call the details. Okay. I think perhaps we should let me add that, not just in this case, but in a lot of other villages, it's very difficult to say exactly the number of septic tanks for the reasons that there's a lot of people would concrete over the septic tanks. So if you go out trying to make an inspection of the septic tanks, you couldn't find them, because even though they are underneath your feet, you wouldn't know it, because they concrete over, you wouldn't see the usual signs that should be there for septic tanks, which is the openings of septic tanks.
Right, and if I can continue, the question is on the restaurants. I mean,
yes.
Previously you've reported one restaurant has a septic tank in previous communication.
We have consulted the various people in the area, and they confirm they have the restaurants have septic tanks. In our irregular trips to different villages, include Lay Moon, we also spotted, like I said earlier, certain houses, village houses, have the signs of septic tanks. The reason, as I said earlier, septic tanks relies on the principle of percolation of the treated wastewater into the soil. So you wouldn't see a so-called discharge point a discrete discharge point on the surface. So it's very difficult once they pave over the septic tank with concrete or with tiles to, you know, make their backyard look more beautiful, or when they renovate their house, they, you know, cover up the septic tank in some way. Then nobody could tell whether where the exact location of the septic tank or whether there is a septic tank. So we have to rely on our experience, so-called, you know, look at the houses and suspect there would be septic tanks. For some houses, you can actually see the signs of septic tanks. So that's why we could not say exact number of septic tanks in any villages, actually, because of this problem that we face.
So thank you very much. Maybe, you know, in the interest of having, you know, members a full view and then going back to the answers, maybe I think it's better for Paul to make your comments all in once before asking EBD to respond to that, please.
Sure.
Paul, please continue.
Chair, I'm happy to do that if that's helpful for the committee. But as and where answers are provided, which may need a bit of further questioning, I hope that you will allow me to do a follow through. We have to be aware that if there is, we don't have a report basically on septic tanks as far as they're available, and as far as there are septic tanks of the restaurants, and the restaurants are located on the waterfront, any percolation is directly into the, basically through the ground into the seawater, because the sea is right there where the septic tanks would be. So I think we should be quite clear, there is no sewerage into the system. Chair, I think for this committee, I think it's, if we want to cut through all the issues here, I like to focus on the timing of how we're going to go forward on this project, if it's and the way to go forward. The greatest obstacle to implement sewerage system is going to be objection from the villagers. Mm. It's very simple. If I have two customers in my restaurant and I have to close down for 3 months, I lose 3 months of two customers every night. If I have 100 customers in my restaurant and I have to close down for 3 months, I have to close down for 3 months times 100 customers every night. So would it be better to ensure that we have the sewerage in first before we give more customers to the restaurants, or should it be the other way around? So my question to you is, if you have people that have lots of benefits from their operations, are they objecting more or less to you installing sewerage systems? I mean, would it be better to install first and then have the business, or have the business first and then trying to ask them to close down the business so you can install the sewerage?
Response, please. But actually, before, you know, you go directly to the response, I think this would also be helpful, you know, if we can distinguish that the sewage coming up from the village, that is kind of independent of this waterfront enhancement scheme and so on, and that from the restaurants that is kind of highly correlated to this enhancement project, that we have more visitors, more restaurants, more business, and more affluent. Could we have an idea on that as well, please?
Chairman, thank you for the question. I think I will leave the technical details to my professional department colleagues, but I think I would just like to make one observation, and that is that the Lei Yu Mun project is a tourism project, no doubt, and the idea is to respond to the demand and the request of the people and operators in the village. This project was supported by the district council, but we also feel the need to ensure that it is a properly administered project. And that is why we are pleased to have this opportunity to exchange with the Harbourfront Commission. The project, as far as sewage is concerned, is actually acting as a kind of catalyst, because with this project, we are actually, the project itself involved a septic tank, which is intended for improving partially the water quality or the discharge quality in the Lei Yu Mun area. That is an initiative on our part to address the short-term concern in terms of water quality. In terms of longer-term water quality, I think EPD has already elaborated on their study to try to improve in the overall sense the water quality of the Lei Yu Mun area. For the restaurant, also as alluded to by EPD, experience tells us that they have some sort of treatment facilities built into their restaurant areas, and the restaurant facilities should take care of the capacity of that restaurant, be it 2 people or 20 people or 200 people. Obviously, the project will bring more people to Lei Yu Mun, either for visiting or for as patrons of the seafood restaurants. But we feel that the study by EPD will, for one thing, create a more holistic approach for improvement of sewage situation in the area. And secondly, the project itself will bring benefit to the treatment of sewage in the area by way of the creation of a septic tank. Now, on the part of whether people will object more or object less if we have the project in place, I would invite my colleagues in EPT to elaborate on possible ways to minimize destruction to business or daily lives of people in the area should improvement works were to be conducted in the area on in terms of improvement of water quality.
Thank you. EPD?
Thank you. I'll try to give a general answer to the question. I think in any type of construction project, it's very difficult to avoid any form of disruption to people living in the vicinity. It's very difficult, but difficult doesn't mean that we do not have a means to overcome these difficulties. Normally, we have to plan well ahead, consult the local community, and, well, at least to gauge, like in this case, the restaurants. At least we need to gauge what kind of business operation they have. I'm just making a guess because our study is just starting. Like perhaps when we go on site during the weekday, perhaps in the morning, say before 10 o'clock, maybe there is not a lot of people in the area. Or after lunch hour during weekday, I'm just making guess, you know. So we will try to look into different ways of programming our, if we need to construct or lay sewers there, then to program our works so that the disruption to the local community, be it the restaurant operators or the villagers or people living there or tourists, to bring that disruption to a minimum. That is our purpose. And in the study we just talked about, we will have some form of public consultation or public engagement with the local people there to find out all the information we need before we come up with a solution, if there is one. And then we will see how to implement the solution so that the disruption to everybody is at a minimum. This is the purpose of the study. So apart from making a proposing a project that will work, meaning it will collect the sewage generated in the area to be properly carried away and treated, we also need to come up with a project that during the construction period of which we will cause the least disruption. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. I think actually the EPD's response has also been listed kind of under the additional information page 7. That you are talking about the sewage improvement works, the second bullet of the issues related to overall project implementation, TC's response, so that if you, with this type of sewage improvement works, it also have to be feasible, and you are consulting the district council concerned and local residents, and probably this will be a kind of a medium to long-term work of solution that will take about 6 years to complete. And on the last point that TC will also be constructing this underground septic tank adjacent to the area, and that is expected to commence in 2012, right? So, yes, Paul.
Just a follow-up on the, because there's the word septic tank has been used many times in the presentation. Let's be clear, the septic tank to be built under the landing steps, which has now been considered, captures less than 0.5% of the entire sewage coming out of the village. There's about 4 or 5 houses above the gully, which is going to be intercepted with that particular septic tank. No other houses, and not the restaurants. So let's be very clear, this septic tank does nothing but make sure that there is no shit flowing over the actual landing steps. That's the only thing that this septic tank does, although it is repeated a million times in this document. This septic tank does nothing to address the issue that we're talking about. So let's just be honest about what we're talking about here. That septic tank makes sure that there is no poo flowing over the landing steps where people are going to be arriving. So that we have to be clear about. The suggestion by and I don't know your name because I don't see your name tag, the lady on the left, that restaurants could construct around septic tanks. We have to be, I think the EPD could comment on that one in this particular village, given the proximity of the properties to each other and the way they are located. To actually now build a septic tank under any of those properties is far more intrusive than actually building a channel through the footpath, because a septic tank needs much more width if you dig a hole for it to build a septic tank than it is to actually draw a pipe through the village. So again, I like this committee. You know, we're getting information presented to us, but I think we've got to be very clear about what is being said here and what is really the story. So I'm happy that the EPD suggests that the feasibility study and that the feasibility depends on people's feedback. I reiterate, and I hope that anybody, that it's clear and obvious for the whole committee here, that if you have more people visiting, there is more business in those restaurants, to get them to close down is going to be less feasible than if nobody's going into that restaurant and there is no cost, no opportunity cost lost in closing down your restaurant while they're constructing the sewage pipes. So, let's all kind of agree on that, because that's a critical point in as we're making recommendations on this particular project. On the sewage, Chairman, I'd like to point out on the same report done for the study on the village improvement upgrading of Lay Moon, that that several studies have already been done. The review of the Central East Kowloon Sewage Master Plans has been ongoing for a while, and a lot of that information really is already available and at the hands of the FEHD and the Drainage Services Department. I also point out that there is a figure, if I get it correctly, 6.1, which shows you conceptual cross-section of a structure to be built in front of the village and the waterfront, which would cover the sewage pipes, water pipes, foul water pipes. It would provide not only the drainage, it will also resolve the landings, because it provides a platform for landings. It provides EVA to make sure that fire services can actually get access appropriately.
Excuse me, Paul. Which particular paragraph are you referring to?
I'm referring to a report. Well, that's my point, Chair. You don't have that report.
Okay, but yes.
That's my point, Chair. The study has been done. Solutions have been identified, and so and I'm sure that as the committee sits here trying to convince us, the issues go beyond sewage. The Hong Kong Observatory can show you the return periods for potential and risk of flooding, and the level of the land in Lay Yu Mun. And taking into account the rise of 0.559 meters, which in current conditions of and global warming is definitely going to happen, we're looking at a return period of 2 years for major flooding in Lay Yu Mun. So addressing one issue of a landing step, you know, maybe that the committee could the government could respond to the flooding risk and the need for seawalls. The observatory reports are available, and yes, in this document, Chairman, in 2002, it clearly states the risk of flooding.
Yes, which it's has already been identified. Addressed there. Additional points, please.
Well, I have more points, but I just think we should deal one by one.
Okay. So I think, first of all, in terms of... Peter, you want to supplement first?
Yes,
okay.
Please. And I'd like to get away from sewage, Madam Chairman, if we can for a moment.
I was moving on to flooding for you.
We do appreciate the problems, first and foremost. Obviously, as an essentially a tourism project, the idea is to make this presumably something more of a tourist destination one way or another. But I come back again to the role of the Harbourfront Commission, which is really to find ways to enhance the harbourfront as a whole. Now, to take on the role of the little boy in the emperor's new clothes, you know, however we look at this area, it's actually totally unattractive and unhygienic, it seems to me. And I'd refer you to Enclosure 4 at the back of this report that the Harbour Enhancement Committee put together last year. And I'll come back to that in a moment. It actually stands out to me like a sore thumb on the Eastern Harbour approaches. A lot of brave people do go there to eat, but that seems to be a very limited attraction. I said at the meeting last time that doing a thumbnail survey in my office, there wasn't one single person in my office who'd been there within the last 10 years, and many of them just laughed. So, you know, we have a problem of perception, and we know the problems. They include water pollution, illegal uses, and the fact that there's no plan to control land uses, as the SD private lots are not subject to user control, and for the surveyed squatter structures, they can be used for all the existing uses as a matter of long-established policy. That's noted in the document. So it obviously represents a very considerable challenge. And when we look at these very cosmetic proposals that have been submitted, the point is, as Maggie said, they're really scarcely scratching the surface. What could and should be a real attraction in a very prominent part of the harbour, and I mean attraction in the user sense and the visual sense, because actually it is, and it looks like, a squatter area, is actually a very ugly mix of mainly temporary buildings that is light years removed from Hong Kong's role, at least its proclaimed role, as a world city and a tourism destination. So we have a real problem, and I know you're doing the best, and we're looking at all these different things. But, you know, you've got to look at the thing holistically as well. I appreciate what's been put forward in terms of very, very limited improvements. But in terms of harbour enhancement, I think we do need to go a lot further. And item 5 in the paper seems to me to indicate that actually some residents could be rehoused. But can't we further these ambitions? I think I would refer again to Enclosure 4. At the back of the report. Restaurant owners in the area are commenting on the increased competition from Lammer Island and Sai Kung, resulting in the area losing its attraction. Now, are we actually convinced that these very minor cosmetic things are going to make this area better? Because I don't think they are. I mean, little bits of landscaping and shrubs in containers are not really going to do the trick. As it said under Enclosure 4, the village layout is irrational and unappealing. It's not traditional at all. It's simply unappealing. It has rusting fences, dilapidated structures, unhygienic mounds of trash. And the proposals really put forward are not addressing these primary concerns. If you look at item 6 under this Enclosure 4, the village layout is poor. We know that some of the issues involve public rights and others involve private rights. But there does need, it seems to me, to be, you know, either a concerted effort by all the relevant departments to do something really meaningful once and for all to make this area attractive, or simply to go back to the starting point again, because I'm completely unconvinced that really what's been proposed is really going to do the trick.
Thank you. Yep.
Gracie? When I hear what Peter said, I'm wondering whether we are talking about the same Lei Yuen Mun area I'm familiar with. We may have different standards, but that is a popular spot for locals, I just checked with the locals who sit next to me, and I noticed that there are also tourists going to the area. Maybe the Tourism Commission can clarify once again. This project, it is very different from the project we discussed just now. This is a tourism project with bringing in investment into an area. It will try to vitalize and enhance an area. So maybe Saigon is more attractive to you, but Leiyumun is also a very interesting place, and it is attractive. Maybe certain part of that area that tourists and people who go to restaurants may not go to. We will go to usually the core business of the Leiyumun area. I can understand why you comment that it is not very hygienic, but even wet markets are scenic spots. Wet markets are not hygienic, but I buy fish and from wet markets, and tourists stand next to me taking pictures. So I'm not sure if Tourism Commission may explain a little bit more about the objectives and what are the core areas you will be improving at.
Thank you, Gracie. And if I may, Chairman, I think what Gracie said also tallies with what the Hong Kong Tourism Board has been advising us. And I think the Hong Kong Tourism Board, they do exit interviews with our tourists, the real users. This is, after all, a tourism project, so I think it's reliable to ask the tourists themselves whether they consider what they consider to be attractions of Hong Kong. And I am pleased to report to this committee that the Leiyumun area is within the top 10 or top 20 on Hong Kong TV's exit survey list as a tourist favorite area to visit in Hong Kong. The members is exactly right in stating that what we want to achieve in the Tourism Commission is to make Hong Kong an international city, Asia's world city, a prime tourism spot. With that, we actually look at a mix of different attractions. And we are also told that part of Hong Kong's appeal or attraction is the traditional way of our living and the traditional face of Hong Kong. So for the Leiyumun project, we think that we try to do improvement to it in the short term and in the middle and longer term. And we want to maintain what is considered to be a good tourism location from the actual tourists themselves. And the other thing is, I think for this project, we would do improvements to the assets, to the temple area and to the rock bridge area. So I think in that sense, the Leiyumun waterfront would also be more accessible to members of the public and to the tourists themselves, so that they will be more conveniently able to appreciate the beauty of our harbor. And of course, in terms of water quality, as we have just alluded to, I think we are doing what we can in the short term, and in the midterm, we want to do more to improve the condition of that area. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, Paul.
Chair, I think that the Harbourfront Enhancement Committee previously, and I'm sure that the Harbourfront Commission will reiterate that it supports the enhancement of Leiyumun and to make use of the opportunity to turn it into a tourism attraction. I don't think anybody has a problem with that statement. So I don't, not even Peter. What we're asking for is how are we going to go about it, and not when we're not going to go about it. The FEHD wet markets are not unhygienic, and I take it on me to defend the FEHD. Mm. The wet markets are kept extremely clean, are cleaned every night. Mm. There is no raw sewage on the floor like we have in Leiyumun, which is the big difference that we're talking about. So let's make that clear, and I think that Macy probably appreciates that I correct her on that one before the FEHD colleagues will send her nasty emails.
You have additional points?
Yes, the issue has been raised again by the Tourism Commission about access. I point out in their own report and in the responses to our questions is that there is no information on access. There is no information, and as my professor in transport studies, you appreciate that, and you've probably picked it up in this point, that there is absolutely no information on access. There's no travel transport data at all available. No study has been done. And the Tourism Commission estimate for the increase in numbers is purely a guesstimate based on potential for harbour tours. But already, as I said before, currently harbour tours are going to the area, and the Tourism Commission and the Tourism Board should be able to give us some information about how many people are currently visiting using harbour tours, which again, as the information is not being provided. Chair, with that, I'm not sure how you want to go forward. I mean, I think this committee should be provided with a proper presentation of all the alternative views on the matter, rather than this tic-tac with the nobody, you know, I don't think anybody's been provided here with a proper, be sitting here discussing this. The Harbourfront Enhancement Committee was provided with that view. On the basis of that, they have adopted a paper that I wrote, which Peter has just quoted from. That paper was adopted. There were no further comments. It was supposed to be submitted to the Town Planning Board. However, the Town Planning Board minutes do not reflect that they have ever received that paper from the HEC. There is no mention in any of the minutes that it was received or evaluated.
We will convey that to the Town Planning Board.
I know,
but
I just saw them because I have never picked it up anywhere that they are. But I think that the Harbourfront Commission should be able to give an opportunity to get a proper presentation on the issues that are being set out there, rather than this tick for tack. If I can point out some in the queries of in this report that the under points two bullet point 1, 2, 3, 4, 4 on page 5 last sentence that a discharge into the subsoil later by soaking is the purpose of soak away pits and if they are going to be on the side of the waterfront that they're still going to be discharging basically into the water. Point 3 bullet point 2 sub-bullet point 2, the information on transport is not available. I can only repeat, and the issue has been raised earlier, that it's going to be all depending on the acceptance by local villagers, on the progress of land resumption, availability of funding, whether the sewers works can be implemented. And I urge you to take into account the issue that if we're going to build this pier first, that feasibility will go down and not up. And then finally, I point out that it has not been responded to is in substantially is that at no stage has the variance in reclamation for the alternative options been evaluated. How much reclamation was required? The breakwater is going to be put in place to make sure that there is some form of safety. However, the Marine Department has made clear that it's not safer, the location. It is only safe behind the breakwater, and the breakwater requires reclamation. And if it would be located in another location, the breakwater would not be required, so you would have less reclamation. Okay, and then
is that all? Because, Paul, I think we have all the minutes and all the questions, all the major concerns that members can...
responding to those issues that have been set out in the paper here, and I'm sure that we can get further detail. If you want me to formulate it in specific questions, we can, to ask more questions. But, how did you like to proceed?
About how to proceed?
How would you like to proceed on this particular Lei Moon project? What is the intention?
Yes.
On how to proceed.
Yeah, we'll come back to that. Is there any other additional comments from members? Yes.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm Shum from the CEDD. I would like to provide some response about the choice of the locations for the funding facility, which is also in respect of the provision of the breakwater. When we select the site, we have also looked into the areas near the Sam Kachin area, because for the Sam Kachin common shelter, we need to provide a safe marine traffic. And if we provide a landing there, we will cause a disruption to the traffic there. And that's why we choose the one we have now used in the design. And in so doing, we provide breakwater to ensure the safe berthing of the vessels.
Okay. Yeah, thanks for the information. Well, so,
just to follow up on that, Chair, I mean, is this location safer or not, is the question. And is there a stronger current here, and is there greater wash of passing vessels, yes or no? I mean, this location, is it safer, given the wash of larger vessels and the currents?
We have provided a lot the various factors for choosing the landing facilities, and now the location is decided by the Kunta District Council.
Yeah, and safety has been taken into consideration,
yes, yes,
right?
Yes. Okay. We have to take into account the safety of the berthing and safety of the vessels in the vicinity. Yes.
Thank you. Denise?
First of all, I want to register my appreciation of the response to our questions raised in our last meeting. And then I particularly want to refer to point Roman number 5, under which we talked about the budget, which was a question that I raised in the last meeting. And then I noticed that we now understand that the estimated cost of the project is $195 million. And then there was also an analysis of, the Hong Kong Tourism Board assessment of how many additional visitors is going to be attracted to the site. My question is, I wonder whether this $195 covered all the costs that we have talked about, like the upgrading of the water quality, the sewage system and all that, and also does it include maintenance costs, and then how is it calculated? And then I'm sure also that there should be a budget allocated already, right? And regarding the tourism board's assessment of the additional visitor, I'm just wondering whether there is any, there's no reference to how many additional revenue that would be brought to the to Hong Kong. But I just wonder when a budget is being allocated, is there a need to work out a payback or a cost and benefit measurement, and how is it being done, or is it being done? And then the last question I have is, there is a additional number of a few thousand people being brought to this new site. If the enhancement is being taken place, and I just wonder whether that also means a competition. That is additional visitors, or really that is a transfer of visitors from areas like Sai Kung, Lama, or is it really an additional benefit? That's my question. Thank you.
Thank you. So I think that would be in relation to page 8, right, the bullets there. And it seems that it says that it's the estimated cost of the project works only. So what this project works include, and the question is also about like more the cost-benefit analysis, please.
Thank you, Chair. The cost of $195 million is our best budget proposal today. Of course, with detailed design and everything, when we go to the Legislative Council for funds allocation, we will have a detailed breakdown as required by the Finance Committee. But what I can tell member at this point is that this amount will include the construction costs for all the Lei Yu Mun enhancement project related items. But for the longer and also the recurring costs, but for the longer term improvement that we mentioned that is understudied by the EPD, that is a major project, and the cost of which is unknown yet because we do not know the scope of the project at this point. EPD will have to, when they complete the study, they will have to come up with the scope of that particular project and hence the cost for that particular project. So the longer term or the medium to longer term improvement in terms of sewage system, the cost of which is not included in the $195 million at this point. In terms of the additional benefit cost to be created by the project, I think, and also whether this project will simply transfer customers from Cyclone or Lama to Lei Yu Moon, I think what I can say is I would like to provide for members' reference the trend of our tourism arrival. And last year in 2009, we have almost up to 30 million arrivals in total. The tourist arrival in total. This year, for 2010, we've just released the figure. It is 36 million, and so it's already a 20% growth. We are envisaging similar growth in the upcoming years, and we badly need to upgrade or improve our facilities to ensure that tourists coming to Hong Kong will have more choices and options, and this is one of them. This is not a major infrastructural project, but it is part of our effort in enhancing the overall tourism attraction of Hong Kong. In terms of actual benefit, we obviously do not have detailed breakdown of the additional revenue that this particular project will generate to Hong Kong as a whole. And I think members are also may also be aware that quite a few of the government projects, we actually, when we pay for the capital cost, we might not be able to consider it in the commercial way by saying we want to have it, take back the cost at a subsequent stage in the commercial sense. So for this particular project, I am sorry that I do not have a figure or a year in terms of how many years we are going to recuperate the capital investment that we are putting into the project. Thank you.
Peter?
Could I just make one point after that, really? I mean, we all know that tourism is going up in Hong Kong, but surely that's even more of a reason to really look at this sort of area properly and comprehensively. You know, it isn't just a visitor attraction. It's a living attraction, a visual attraction, an environmental attraction. That's what we actually need. 195 million seems to me a very small amount of money. And I would draw your attention to item 5 on enclosure 1. And there's a very interesting little line there, it seems to me. We've in addition, and this comes from the Tourism Commission, September 2008, we've tried to minimize the number of squatters that may be affected so as to reduce the impact on the community. Now, why exactly is that? When I came to Hong Kong 33 years ago, most of Hong Kong hillsides and the typhoon shelters were full of squatters. You know, Diamond Hill was the biggest squatter area in Hong Kong, and look what's there now. So why are we trying to reduce the impact on the squatter community? Why aren't we rehousing them and rebuilding in a very nice way to emphasize the traditional aspects of the area and to actually better the environment? Because at the moment, and I keep repeating this, it's a very ugly squatter area. You know, there's no point in trying to cover it up and pretend it's something different. And with respect, it's not a traditional area at all. The traditional areas in Hong Kong were the traditional villages. This is, by and large, a sort of cross between a temporary and a squatter area with isolated private development lots that we can't really do anything about with, as the paper already says. But we do need to go further than we are doing at the moment, I think, to meet all these criteria. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yeah, thank you. Any response to that? Yes, Nick?
Yeah. I think we're all agreed that we would like to see this particular initiative go forward, and even Paul, I think, expressed that view. And it's just, I think, a question of how we facilitate that process. I mean, just listening to everybody talking, I mean, I think most people have made some very valid points. But I think what I would suggest is that we regard this as phase one of perhaps a more comprehensive plan and a comprehensive program for the upgrading of Lei Yu Moon. And back to this issue of context and adopting a comprehensive approach, let's not hold back this particular initiative, but let's ask the South government, the relevant departments, to come back over time with a comprehensive program, which includes for the sewage enhancement, but includes for all the other things that we've picked up. So we achieve a comprehensive enhancement, if you like, of the whole area over time. But we allow this particular initiative to get to move forward and give government time to come back with a comprehensive plan. Because as we've been saying all along, we're trapped in a way at the moment, because we haven't got this strategic plan. We haven't got a strategic plan for Lady Moon. We haven't got a strategic plan for the harbour. So in a way, we have to make a judgment call on individual initiatives. And I think this is one way which we should allow to move forward. But over time, we're going to want government and the various authorities come back with more comprehensive plans, and then we can look at things in the context of those plans. So my suggestion for today is, let's allow the thing to move forward, let's regard it as work in progress, but ask government, and particularly EPD, to come back with a comprehensive plan for enhancement of the whole of this particular piece of the coast.
Okay, thank you very much, Nick. Paul?
Nick used my name. I'd like to make absolutely clear where I stand on this. I don't object at all to the enhancement of Lei Yu Mun. And in the action area study that we did in the Harbour Front Enhancement Committee, we clearly identified as the action area to be inclusive of the Typhoon Shelter and the Sam Kha Tsuen Pier. So that is the action area that we have to look into and go forward with appropriately. I totally disagree with Nick about sequence. I think you fix the sewage before you put in the pier. You fix the services and sort out and have the commitment of the villagers who have not paid any land premiums, who are basically looking for this as a way to increase their business, an advertisement on the side of their waterfront, to make sure that they're fully committed to the sewage system before you put the money in to put in the landing steps. And if you look at the urgency of the landing steps, this paper makes it absolutely clear that the only gain, possibly the only gain, would be a somewhat shorter walk. Actually, it says that it's only because it's a more attractive walk. That's what the paper claims. The only advantage is a more attractive walk because it has no impact on transport. It does not increase the flow. It just suggests that people can land in a different place where there's not going to be any fish landing. Now, fish are landed in the morning. Tourists are landed in the evening and in the late afternoon. So there is absolutely no conflict to use that area that they have. And in the meantime, sewage systems can be put into place, and then we can fix the rest appropriately. And I think to turn this around is absolutely wrong. And I by Nick, I think we should express our support for enhancement of the area overall. But I think the sequencing of the work got to be put in the right order. For the additional reasons, at one, it may well be in the wrong place. But the Marine Department has been very clear that's the safety, that this area is not safer than the other alternatives. And therefore, there is a breakwater requirement. Otherwise, the breakwater is not required. And the breakwater costs a lot of money and reclamation, which would otherwise not be required. The other one that I've raised earlier is that the whole area is subject to a two-year return event of flooding. And so you have breakwater, you have a seawall requirement, and this landing steps is part of potentially a seawall, so you have to design that in appropriately so you can resolve all these issues at the same time. So I urge to support the first part of Nick's comments, that this committee supports the enhancement of Lei Yu Mun. However, I propose that we also say that the sequencing of the work should be done appropriately, namely, fix the sewage and the services first before we attract more tourists into the area.
So thanks for the comment. And I think basically, unless there are other additional comments, maybe I think it's now time for us, try to gather what we have, heard so far. That will also, answer my questions to Paul as to how I propose we proceed, okay? So I think, first of all, it has been clear that the underground septic tank proposed by the Tourism Commission would not be the solution to the sewage problem in the area, and the Tourism Commission has not claimed to that. That would not be able to address all the different sewage problem. And we also understand from EPD that the restaurants already have a lot of septic tank. But and also EPD is also trying to solve the sewage improvement problem, as I have mentioned earlier on page 7. That these improvement works need also, other than just coming to the task force, need to consult with the district board, with local residents, and that would take at least 6 years to complete. So in terms of sequencing, I really have some concern if we are saying that you must finish with your sewage in 6 years and then going back to the Liyumun enhancement. So I would suggest rather that the EPD would come back kind of to the task force, especially if this is in relation to the water quality, that is to about the sewage improvement works in that in the Liyumun area that is independent of the enhancement project. So how this larger scale sewage problem is going to solve the water pollution problem, so to speak, in the area. And then secondly, in relation to the building of the seawall and the flooding issue, I think actually the Tourism Commission has prepared a very detailed response that I have read carefully this morning. On page 8, basically the first row in terms of the response has also explained why is there a need for the building of the seawall, and that also relates, you know, to the flooding protection of the area in Liyumun area. So thirdly, also in terms of the number of tourists, whether it's attractive or not, it also came to my mind that it seems that on page 6 of the Tourism Commission's response, the Hong Kong Tourism Board has actually, in terms of the visitation to Liyumun on the whole, has been stable in the past 3 years. So it seems that it is still a major attraction for tourists in Hong Kong. And discuss despite some of the comments that is being made by the restaurant's owner, but it seems that the overall surveys shows that this has been stable. And then in relation to the access issue, I think this is, as Paul has rightly pointed out, this is something that we would really like to see more about. It hasn't had any transport impact at all. And the sixth point is this is to be fair to the secretary, because it seems that actually Irene was also the secretariat of the HEC subcommittee on the harbour plan review. And according to her notes handed to me just now, she has sent the paper that Paul you have mentioned to the town planning board on the 15th of December 2009. And that has been taken into consideration in the town planning board discussion. And finally, I want to say kind of in relation, I echo, you know, Peter's viewpoint that has actually penetrated all this discussion is to look at things more holistically. So I think that actually goes back once again to when we have the action area that Paul has also alluded to, that we can integrate all this together. So my point of in dealing with how this waterfront enhancement project is really not whether this is what we want to do, but whether this is compatible to what we are doing. So if it is compatible with what we are doing and it is kind of in pursuant of our Harbourfront Commission principle that it improves the waterfront area for the enjoyment both for the local and for the tourism, for the tourists, while we remark that there are outstanding concerns in terms of the sewage problem, we are also aware that short and medium term measures are in place that you will hear in due course back to the task force as Nick has suggested. And for the Liyumun Waterfront Enhancement Project, we recognize that it actually has the potential to act as a catalyst as well for further environmental improvement in the area. So right now it's more like a conceptual plan. We would really like the team, especially from the Tourism Commission, to come back with specific projects, right, that we can actually comment on when the plans further move forward. So could we proceed like this? And unless we hear additional comments, I think that's basically how we can, as Gracie has mentioned, strike a balance between the different forces while recognizing urgency and moving things onward. Paul.
Yeah, on the issue of compatibility, I doubt that the compatibility has been proven. It's a comment you just make, and I don't think that's an appropriate comment to be included in the conclusion. If you put flood control measures around the village, you may well be able to berth your vessels on the west side, without any need for building breakwater in an otherwise less safe part of the water. So, I mean, I think we'll have to get a program back for the enhancement of the village overall and then decide whether it's compatible or not. I mean, I think the conclusion it's compatible is I don't think is correct. The danger also of your conclusion is that we're accepting the design details. And
we haven't seen the design details yet. We cannot agree to that. I haven't said that. We haven't seen the design details yet. That's, you know, also my concern. We don't have we just have a conceptual plan right now. We don't have the specific projects. We want Tourism Commission to come back, okay, that address both the access issue and perhaps what you just mentioned about, like, the flooding issue and the design details at a later stage, because they frankly haven't presented us with such details.
And the program, just the overall program for enhancement, just kind of like how we should structure it. And I doubt that we need 6 years. With cooperation of the villages, that sewage system can be put in very quickly, because the main sewage system is already available in the Praia. There is already a main sewage plant close by with ample capacity. So the solution, it can be identified very quickly. The only obstacle that's there is cooperation, because everything else is easy in that village, as long as the villages cooperate and see that they're going to have financial gain by upgrading and therefore cooperate. The sewage system can be put in within the next 2 years. But if we have objections, then it's going to be very difficult, because then everybody says, oh, I don't want to move my fish tank, I don't want to move my wall, don't close me down for 2 months. Everybody's going to give you their problem. So it's a very simple situation. This can be resolved in a period of 2 years. It's a very simple pipe, it's not a lot of flow, and it's two pump houses, two pipes, I mean, it's a very simple one, but it needs cooperation. And you're not going to get that unless you put the knife to the throat.
Yep.
If you give them the $200 million investment right now, you're never going to get the upgrade. So let's just be clear, let's be realistic. It's an economic issue. So let's deal with it properly. And we are, if we give that instruction as the Harbourfront Commission, and we make that absolutely clear, that that is what we want to see, then the villages will go behind it very quickly, because they can smell the money. Because not only do they get an investment in the landing step, they also get an investment in the sewage pipe. Okay? So these people, the value of the properties will shoot up. So we have to make it absolutely clear to everybody, give a very clear direction from this committee, that that is the program we want to see, that's the sequence we want to see, because it benefits everybody. And then make it absolutely clear. Get out of this mud. It's a very simple money game. And we can get that sorted very, very quickly. Seriously. Let's make it clear, Chairman. Don't give any more complicated answers.
Thanks for your analysis. And, you know, Maggie, you also have a comment.
Just that I do echo Paul's concern about, with no commitment, public money being spent, which is obviously going to benefit publicly and privately. I absolutely agree. We ought to try and see this go ahead. But I would like to see some commitment from the village in the end that they will support this overall improvement before public money is spent on it.
Really, to look at the status of the village, quite clearly there are two different types of community there. I mean, people who have private land with a private structure on it, and squatters. But I would have thought that if one was brave enough to actually rehouse squatters, you probably find there was an enormous capacity to infill, rebuild and regenerate two-story terraces and all sorts of interesting things. So, you know, that is one obvious way forward, I would have thought, for dealing with upgrading generally.
Thank you. Yeah.
I just wonder whether the Tourism Commission has ever done a study about the village's response to the enhancement project, whether they are willing to sacrifice for a few months' business.
Yeah. So thank you very much. I think, you know, in the interest of time, it is, to be fair, it's not possible for them probably, you know, to give a definite answer at this stage. And when it comes to sewerage, I don't know. Personally, I think we have to trust EPD as to how complicated and what's the time frame that we need in order to improve a sewage system. To me, it seems that it's not just two pipes. And looking at the Hong Kong Island thing, you know, the major sewage improvement takes 7 years. So I just want, you know, kind of to make it clear that the EPD will come back to us with the sewage improvement problem. And given the conceptual plan, we also need, you know, in terms of the projects, the assets, the flooding thing, and also I think, you know, just Dilis and Paul has also mentioned about, like, how you would engage, you know, the villagers, what type of commitment, opinion that they have about the project when you come back with the details projects. All right. So thank you very much. Thanks for attending the meeting. Thank you. Yeah. That concludes our agenda item number 5. And